We're pro wrestling fans since the early 80s. For all your sports entertainment talk, take a ride on the other side with Melanie and Corey. You're listening to Women Love Wrestling Too.
Hi everybody, this is Melanie and it is Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. Salut, comment ça va? How's everyone doing? English and French. Yes, we are live from Montreal. What's up, Corey?
What's up?
This is going to be kind of a slow week for wrestling.
Yeah, for news as well. But don't worry, we have some stuff to fill up the gaps, at least I do.
So let's just get Raw out of the way, because that's, for me, I did not watch it live. I knew once Raw was going to go to 3 hours live every week, I was thinking, you know what, I'm probably not going to be able to watch this live for 3 hours every fucking Monday night, which was the case. So, you know, I DVR it now. And this week, it took me 2 days to watch it. even though I can fast forward through stuff and, you know, I was just not interested. I'm like, ugh. So many times I just said, ugh.
I had a 45-minute to almost an hour. Even stepped outside because my father, and this was with my dad too, the conversation. Even stepped outside because he had to bring me something. I sat in the SUV. We chatted for 10 minutes. And when I came back, I'm like, the show is still not over. What the hell?
For so, me, yeah. I think it's a combination of things. It's all the recaps over and over again. The touts aren't as intrusive as I thought they would be. And then it's just basically, you know, how it is right now. The storylines, everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a combination of stuff, and which I guess will be part of my rant once we get there, but you know, there's not one singular thing that makes a show great or bad. It's a combination of things. And if people could just get that through their thick skulls, I think we'd be okay. But unfortunately, you know, people think one person make or break a show or a company, and it's just not true, guys. Come on. But yeah.
So what did you like about Raw? If anything.
God, let's go through the notes. I sort of like, and it's more of a backstory than the actual thing, but JTG was actually on TV, but it's more of the backstory than the actual him being versus Rock back and blah blah blah. I think the only thing I liked about Raw this week was the fact that I was right all the time.
Okay.
And not so much for the actual program. I mean, I'm just skimming through right now, and I'm sure we'll get to something where I'll be like, oh yeah, I liked this, but as it stands right now, there really wasn't anything much to celebrate about, to be honest. And we knew that this is something that would have been coming down the road sooner or later. I mean, many of us who have podcasts like this have all pretty much said the same thing. You know, wait till a week or two after the Raw 1000 thing kind of dies down, and then we'll get into the crust of things. And trust me, if we didn't like the 2 hours, there's no way we're going to like the three.
Well, for me, like, okay, I didn't take any kind of notes this week because I was thinking there's not much really to remember that was of significance. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? So just off the top of my head, when it first started, I was like, oh, cool. It's starting with a match right away instead of all this talking.
Yeah.
But then I saw what the match was and it's like, blah, whatever. Another cool thing initially when I first saw it, oh, a Divas match. Great. Mm-hmm. And then the Divas match happened. I was like, boo.
Yeah.
The one thing I did like, though, with not much complaints at all, would be the match with Chris Jericho, Ziggler, who was The Miz, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, The Miz. There you go. That was probably the part that I didn't get to while skimming through, but, you know, because we know what to expect from these guys.
Yeah, it was a long match. I enjoyed it. There was nothing wrong with it. And plus, it was, well, part of it, you know, Ziggler and Y2J, it's part of SummerSlam this Sunday, and that's really the only match that I'm interested in.
Yeah, to be honest, it is the only thing that I'm interested in. There's nothing else that's grabbing my attention at all.
No. And then it came, I mean, did you want to do anything else or say anything else about what happened, or are we just going to get to the end?
What happened with what?
On Raw.
No, not really.
Now the end. Oh my god, the acting.
Okay.
Where's Sean? Where's Sean? Where is he?
There's so many faux pas in that segment. Oh my god. There's the overacting by Triple H, but, you know, what do you expect? And there's also the faux pas by Shawn Michaels, which I was like, man, you've been in the business for how many years and you, like, effed that up? Did you notice when he was rolling around in the ring? Oh, my arm, he broke my arm, blah, 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 but I'm gonna roll on my arm that's broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, come on, you expect a rookie to do that?
Because I was watching and I'm like, which arm is broken?
Because obviously, like, I watched it, right?
Yeah.
And I rewatched it just to be absolutely certain that I wasn't drunk, I wasn't falling asleep, because trust me, that 3 hours really did put me to sleep a few times because I did nod off, or that I wasn't hallucinating, because sometimes you can see things and you kind of miss it. But yeah, I rewatched it and I was like, no, I was seeing it correctly, because if you recall how he was positioned and then rolled back, it's that same arm that he's supposedly, you know, keeping to his side and keeping close to his chest.
Yeah,
while the other arm, he's trying to push the referee away. So, okay, yes, he has the correct arm. Now, why are you rolling on it?
Yeah, because that's the first thing I want to do when I break my arm. Roll on it.
Yeah, because I'm impervious to pain. What are you talking about? You know, like, nice way to sell the broken arm.
I've had a broken wrist. I was not rolling on my broken wrist.
No.
Until the cast went on, then I was like, I don't care. I still did everything, but, you know, come on now.
I had a hairline fracture on my shoulder, and, like, my shoulder blade.
Yeah.
There was no way. And that's a hairline fracture, okay? Not even a break. A hairline fracture. And I couldn't even roll on that side. So, yeah.
And again, why is Brock running away from Triple H if he's the baddest man on the planet? He's a force to be reckoned with. He's Brock Lesnar.
UFC champion.
Ultimate credentials.
You know what I'm saying? And I've rolled this over in my mind so many times because I'm trying to be positive in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, okay, what aspect of this am I missing as a fan to understand exactly what they are trying to do? Because sometimes there are moments where we see certain things and initially we'll say, ugh, what a disgrace, or what a way to make a person look pathetic. You know, and in this case, we're saying this about Lesnar.
Right.
And I said, okay, let me try to be as objective as possible. I've never been in the business. I don't know anything about, you know, the politics of wrestling and how you build psychology and all that stuff. So I'm just going to look at it from a logical standpoint about how this would be A, good for business, and B, how this would draw money. I have no answer. Like, I really have no answer. Because any way to look at it, it's like, it makes no sense.
And it's like, what's the point? Why did you bring Brock Lesnar back to begin with? April, he's been looking like he can't win anything, which he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't promote somebody to be a force to be reckoned with and have them lose every time.
And make them look weak. Because I could understand initially when he was brought in and, you know, Cena volunteered to be his first quote-unquote victim, but really didn't even turn out to be a victim after all. That, I gave that storyline more credibility than I do this one.
Yeah, for sure.
And because this one is just like somebody saying, okay, I want to be on one of the biggest pay-per-views, the big four, and I guess I'll choose SummerSlam. And since Brock is here, and I haven't really faced Brock per se, let me just do that.
See, now people are thinking, okay, this whole thing with SummerSlam and, you know, Triple H versus the versus Brock Lesnar, excuse me, and, you know, with the Shawn Michaels in his corner, blah, blah, blah. People are saying that it could be something that it will build up for a later match between Shawn Michaels and Triple H, because maybe Shawn Michaels will do something and kind of turn on Triple H, or, you know, not really have his back, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And then that will lead to them two fighting at some point.
Now, here's my question.
Why are you putting somebody in the middle of this to get to another match, another feud, whatever, when this person is, you're paying them how much, millions of dollars? What is the point? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. If that's the case. Your question?
Oh, my goodness. For me, the point is, as far as Shawn Michaels is concerned, why you retire?
Honestly, yeah, I know.
Why did you retire? Because for me, you do the, I don't want to say it like I know what's going on, but just as a fan, you do the product such disservice when you have this grand set-off. You have this obnoxious Shawn HBK appreciation night. Did that happen? Was that?
That's what it was supposed to be.
Like, really? Honestly?
To play devil's advocate, he's not really in a match.
No. But nobody misses him. Nobody gets the opportunity to miss him because he's always there.
I know. And the thing is, it's like, the last big time we saw him, you know, was WrestleMania, obviously. And then, how many times have we seen him since then? That's what? April to May to June, June, July to August. 4 months.
And we've seen him a handful of times.
Right. And that shirt is ugly. Oh, God, awful shirt. Mm-hmm. Who's wearing that besides him?
Not my ass. That's for damn sure.
And then I was thinking, okay, great. Now they're doing this thing, they kidnapped Shawn, and then they brought him back, broke his arm, and now what? So what? I don't care.
What does that have to do with the match? Because even if Shawn Michaels came there for the sole purpose to be moral support for Triple H, it does nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I think this whole thing has just become a mockery.
I just want it to be done and over with. The only thing that can salvage this feud, this match or whatever, is, like I said, I think last week, is if Triple H gets the shit kicked out of him and he's carried out in a stretcher.
Yeah.
And we do not see him for a very long time.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. If
Brock Lesnar loses, oh my God. Watch this. Watch my tout.
And the thing is, I could understand if there was more interest, or let me rephrase that actually. There would be more interest in this storyline had Brock Lesnar been physically around more. This whole, you know, an appearance here, an appearance there, and before everybody gets on their high horse and is going to say, oh, well, The Rock did that too, blah, blah, blah.
They're two different people.
They're two different entertainers, yes. First of all.
One can talk, one can't.
Exactly. Brock is more, he sells more the intensity
right.
than anything else.
His presence.
Yeah, his presence is very, like, you know, intimidating.
Right.
So he could build himself off of that. And I think because of that, he should have been around more. Whereas The Rock was a little bit more entertaining. He was also more, and is still today, very active in the social media aspect of everything, too. So if you didn't see him on TV, at least he was tweeting about Cena during the course of the day, every day, or every at least a few times a week. So, you know, there's a different balance.
But I think even with these limited dates that they had for him for a whole year, meaning Brock, how they could have still made it work, but in to me anyway, in my opinion, the only way they could have made it work is if, again, they showcased his intimidation. They made him win stuff. They, you know, he wrecks havoc every time he's on Raw. He's unstoppable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only way, to me, I think they could have worked it with such limited dates.
Yeah.
But alas, is it a grudge? Who knows?
I don't know. And at this point, I don't really even care because...
No, me neither.
They've made him look so incredibly pathetic that at this point, if I were to have any interest, which I did initially when he started the whole, you know, the little tiny angle with Cena, to the point that he lost the match, and, you know, I'm not going to go over that again, but from that point on, I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, I quit. Basically.
And you know what? Okay, I'm like, this is totally off subject of what we're talking about, but with, I did watch SmackDown, last SmackDown, and I didn't even know that Booker T canceled Alberto Del Rio's, title, you know.
Title opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity, yeah. Right. I didn't even know that. I watched it and all. Skipped right by me.
Well, here's my
thing. I was like, what? When did that happen?
Because I missed it too. But here's my thing with SmackDown. With SmackDown, I, for some odd reason, I can never remember to tune in. Even though now Raw and SmackDown pretty much start at the same time. Like the time slot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I always miss the first half hour. So I never know what's going on. Even though they recap it like 10 million times. But it was only maybe the day after or even the Sunday that I learned that he had canceled it. And I was like, huh? That happened?
Yeah. And, I mean, everyone's saying that Alberto Del Rio is probably going to still take it because, you know, he did that whole tout business about how he has that contract, so he still has to have his match, blah, blah, blah. End result is that... what's his name? Randy Orton will be in the picture either Sunday or after, shortly after that. Because they're going to build a three-way thing with them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and oh, I'll get to the rumor thing after with John Laurinaitis, even though I do know he's coming back. Because, you know, like I said, he's been advertised for Montreal show
right.
Next month. But I'll get into what his role might be, what they're saying it should might be so far, but later on. I'm done with Raw, man. You done with Raw?
Of course.
Thank
been done.
God.
I know it's time for... Did you hear about that,
scene? Speaking of SummerSlam, you know the official SummerSlam song that they keep playing?
Yeah.
During those little commercial things? Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know this dude's name. His name is Kevin Rudolph. He's going to be performing that song at the pay-per-view.
You didn't know Kevin Rudolph?
No, I don't keep up with this shit.
He's had, like, two other songs on your WWE pay-per-view.
I don't know. I don't care.
That is too funny. You're just like, fuck him.
I don't care, man. speaking of other people I don't really care about, Kurt Angle.
Oh,
he
God.
Said... Someone asked him about if he's going to try out for the 2016 Olympics. What do you think he said?
Yes or no?
No, he said no. He tweeted last Friday. He said he's not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. But he did tweet this last Friday.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to run for office. Boost economy. alter Obamacare to work for all of us and create more jobs. That's it. Start out as mayor, then congressman, then governor. I made mistakes, but I also have done some awesome things. I'm excited. So because you won a gold medal, because you had, you know, a pretty good career in WWE, now you decide you're going to be a politician? You're going to have to cut out that drinking, Kurt Angle.
He's off to a good start, too, by threatening people as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He entertains me so much off-cam.
I'm telling you.
It's great. Oh, man. Let's see. Wait. Let's break down what he said, okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to run for office, boost economy, alter Obamacare to work for all of us. Okay. I wonder if he even read Obamacare. And first of all, I don't know where he's going to get all his money.
Unless he's using his own.
Yeah, but come on, even Linda McMahon. She spent, I'll get into, well, this is part of the other section I was going to talk about, but Linda McMahon, she spent over $11 million so far.
Yeah. And when you're on that kind of campaign, you do need sponsors and sponsors, basically.
Yeah, because I mean, with Linda, she the last time, remember 2010, I believe, she was criticized for, you know, all this money spending and stuff because she was outspending everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, like I was saying, so far she spent over $11 million, they're saying, and it's to beat Christopher Shays, who spent $1.2 million. So they're all mad at her, calling her pretty much a greedy bitch. And yeah, you know, and saying, you know, they're always going back and forth about the whole, she made her money in the wrong way and her scruples are wrong, blah, 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 whatever. like a politician should talk.
Exactly.
Most politicians' scruples are wrong. Come on.
First of all, does any politician have scruples?
I'd say maybe a handful.
Less than a handful?
Maybe.
Or half of that handful?
Probably.
Yeah.
And they usually end up getting shot anyway, or killed somehow.
Exactly. So.
Now the last part of what he was tweeting about, I made mistakes, but I also have done some awesome things. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. How do these awesome things equate to becoming governor, mayor, congressman, you know?
First of all, I want to know what these awesome things are.
Besides a gold medal and having a good career at WWE, I don't know. He needs to expand on that.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because he did, a not awesome thing recently, which I guess we can just tie that in because it does involve him. But he had issued an apology to WWE and TNA fans because of comments that he had made towards CM Punk after CM Punk went to a Comic-Con appearance in Chicago, I think it was.
Okay.
Recently. And he referred to TNA as indie, as an indie promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kurt took offense to that, and basically, I can just read exactly what Angle said. Punk wants to say TNA is an indie league. I was on top in WWE when you were trying to get a job anywhere. It was my choice to go to TNA. If I ever see you, Punk, hi, bitch. Really? And
yeah.
You're trying to run for office.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Kurt Angle. He puts
yeah.
his foot in his mouth many times.
So, his apology, he says, I apologize to TNA and WWE fans for my comment. I don't expect Punk to apologize to TNA, but I'm sorry. Respect for the biz. He also added, only the WWE and TNA fans is who he was apologizing to and not Punk. Punk disrespected TNA. He has a lot to learn about fame and responsibility. What does that mean exactly?
I can't decipher what Kurt Angle says most of the time, so
Because Fame and Responsibility, I could understand if he would have been reacting, because Punk has said some controversial stuff, okay? But yeah, at the same time, he's turned around and he's apologized for it. And Punk's the type of person, you rub him the wrong way and he'll say exactly what is on his mind. And sometimes that can be offensive. So, you know, we can go back to the whole, when he was telling a fan to go kill yourself, or, you know, he made some kind of, it wasn't a homophobic remark, but it was some kind of remark anyway. I just don't remember exactly what that was. And he turned around and he apologized for it. Now, if Angle were to attack him for, you know, one or these two types of remarks, then I can understand. But he it's a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a fact. They are a promotion. They are a legit promotion. They're not considered indie because we pretty much see them on TV on a weekly basis. They have an audience. They have a fan base. So, you know, if that's how Punk feels about TNA, then that's how Punk feels about TNA. There's a lot of people who hate TNA, and they couldn't, light a candle to WWE.
True.
But those are those people's opinions. So if you're going to get on Punk for saying that, then you might as well get on every fan that doesn't like TNA programming and thinks that WWE programming is so much better. And I mean product-wise. And you can't do that, so too bad.
Too bad. Next thing I have is, oh God, Scooby-Doo, why? Why?
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Yes, used to love the show back in the day as a kid, but now they're Warner Brothers and WWE Studios announced that they will be co-producing a Scooby-Doo animated feature that will find Scooby and the gang solving a mystery at WrestleMania.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
Is it any more evident that this is not for us?
If you need more proof, then I don't know.
So WWE superstars and divas, and these are some of the ones they included: Triple H, John Cena, Kane, The Miz, Brodus Clay, Santino Marella, Sin Cara, AJ Lee will appear in animated form and lend their voices to the project. Vince McMahon will also lend his voice and appear in animated form. Oh gosh, imagine him in animated form.
You know what? I can't really dump on this completely because when, you know, in the 80s we had rock and wrestling.
Oh, I know.
So, but you know, for the kiddies, it's cool, I guess. We'll see how it plays out. Well, but I'm not interested for obvious reasons.
Yeah, this is how it's supposed to play out for WrestleMania. When Shaggy and Scooby win tickets to WrestleMania, the entire gang travels in a mystery machine to WWE City to attend the epic event. However, when a mysterious ghostly bear appears and threatens to ruin the show, Scooby, Shaggy, Velma, Daphne, and Fred work with WWE superstars to solve the case. Oh, goodness.
But it's a typical Scooby-Doo type of episode, you know? So, again, you sound like completely turned off, but for me, I'm just like, it's, you know, it's following the skeleton of what we've always watched, you know, even us as children for Scooby-Doo. So.
Oh, I know, but the thing is, though, back then, even though we had that, it was still cool. Like, adults still thought it was cool to watch the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like, there was a lot of adults in the show. Like, going to the shows live. A lot more than there is now.
When you say what show, do you mean?
Just, like, you know, WWE in general. Okay. Back then. Yeah. Like, yeah, we had the cartoon and stuff, too. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff geared to kids. But there were also a lot of stuff geared to adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was kind of like a balance. And it was, again, if you even look back on videos or go on YouTube or whatever and watch stuff from back in the 80s, a lot of the crowd is adults.
Yeah. But again, I'm taking it for what it's worth. at this point because I'm just emotionally and mentally exhausted of ranting and raving about, you know, what this is and what that is and blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying that the product is great and right. all these extras that they keep, you know, throwing into the barrel and into the pot are great ideas or that they cater to an audience like us. But at the same time, you got to take it for what it's worth because it is what it is.
I know.
You don't want history to repeat itself, like, line for line, you know?
Well, no, I can't. Because yeah. a lot of things that happen, like, you know, in a, for lack of a better term, in a magical way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And there's certain things that you just couldn't time or plan any better. They just, you know, the stars were aligned, as they like to use that
right.
quote. So, I'm not too upset about it, but at the same time, it would be nice to have something to appease to our crowd as well.
Well, let's see how you feel about this one. Khloe Kardashian will be the next week's social media ambassador for Monday Night's Raw from Fresno, California.
I don't care. I really don't care. And this is coming from a former, you know, fan of keeping up with the Kardashians. And I wouldn't even say I was a hardcore fan or anything like that, because it's not like I sat there and watched episode every week, can't miss it. I caught, you know, quite a few episodes and I found some of them funny, but I don't care.
I know. And this whole, like, social media ambassador thing. Okay. I understand why they want to try something like this, because when you have somebody that's quote-unquote popular, then they're tweeting out to all their followers, and then it gets people, maybe some more people interested, and blah, blah, blah. But I wonder how well it's really working.
I doubt it. I doubt it highly. Because WWE has a tendency that when they jump on something, oh my goodness, it's like you loving cheesecake. And then somebody feeding you cheesecake every hour on the hour every week.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what you want Monday night, I'm going to feed you cheesecake, Melanie. Because cheesecake is the next hottest thing after sliced bread.
Right.
You know, you're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand with the whole, you know, social media ambassador thing, and there was no real concept explained to what a social media ambassador is.
And you know they're not gonna, these people aren't gonna, you know, be tweeting anything that's funny, cool, controversial, nothing, you know what I mean?
No, they're just gonna say, oh, John Cena's my favorite superstar, I hope he wins.
Yay.
That's it.
And it's amazing how many insight. It's amazing how many retweets that we'll get.
It'll get retweets because it's a mention of John Cena. But what kind of rubs me the wrong way about this whole entire thing, because it can work. It's just, again, like we were saying, I think it was last week, you know, have somebody on that is knowledgeable.
And as well, how many people who like Khloe Kardashian, I'm sure the majority of them that like her or her sisters or her family aren't into wrestling.
Exactly.
So I don't understand the pairing.
Female.
I do not understand the pairing.
I don't either. And to quote, well, I won't quote him, but it was something that he had said. And mind you, I've been spending most of the weekend and, you know, the first part of this week watching a lot of wrestling documentaries, some that I never got the opportunity to watch and finally got to watch them. And one thing that was said by Michael Hayes was, you can't fool your audience in that sense. If they're not connecting to it, they ain't gonna buy into it. No matter how much you dress it up, they're not gonna go with it. And how many people are actually legitimately thinking with their logical side of the brain that, yes, this social networking thing is really, really cutting edge and working so well. I don't understand why WWE didn't get on this sooner.
Because WWE is always late, though, to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be the top dog, and yet you're always late. Why?
I don't understand.
Well, actually, I do know why. Because the people that are running this shit aren't really in tune of what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Vince.
A lot of them. Even Stephanie. I don't know. Even she's a little out of tune, I think.
I've always heard the criticisms for Stephanie was that her ideas were never any good. Because even though she's been in the business, it doesn't seem like she's caught on to anything at all. Like, even the psychology of things, she'll bring up something and people be like, how do you think that will work? Like, you've been in this business for how long? And you come up with this kind of idea? So, apparently she's nowhere near the, you know, mental genius or creative genius of Vince McMahon. And even Vince McMahon in his very prehistoric type of ideas, mm-hmm. some of them still work to a degree, you know? So, yeah. I don't know.
And the Bella Twins, they're going to do a shoot interview with RF Video.
Yay. I saw that. I didn't see it, but I mean, I saw that piece of news. What? And I'm thinking to myself, what do they have to say?
Thank you very much. What can they possibly say? Without, you know, burying anyone, what could they possibly say? Because I'm sure they can bury a lot of people.
I'm sure they could, but even if they were to do that, they would make themselves look incredibly stupid.
Exactly, so they're not.
Even if they are telling the truth.
Right, they're not. I don't think they're going to go that route.
No.
So
I really don't think they have anything interesting to say.
I doubt it. People are just going to be like, tits, boobs.
Twins.
You know? Now, I know you want to get on this whole AW topic.
Yeah, but I just have one thing to mention before that.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that's listening that is from Montreal, TNA's Tara will be wrestling independently in our city.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. She will be competing next month for Top of the World Wrestling, which is TOW. And that's the organization that Drew Onyx is right. Associated with.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be facing our own Lou Fisto
mm-hmm.
in the event. And also, another person who's appearing in the event is Roddy Piper.
I didn't know about this.
I did not know that either. I knew that they had the event, which is September 21st, first of all. I knew that that event was coming up because, you know, I always look on Drew's schedule and stuff like that, because, you know, we're trying to organize this whole interview thing.
Right.
But yeah, so I did see the schedule. I did see that they would be having a show here in the city, and I wanted to go to it because I felt all the other shows that they had for this month were all in, like, very obscure places, and I don't drive officially, you know, by myself, so there was no way to attend those. So this would be the first actual Montreal show. So it would be nice if I am off. I would like to go. So I am going to holla at him. And it would be, you know, something great for us to report on other than, you know, talking about WWE all the time. Sometimes I just get so tired of talking about him.
You said the month. You said next month, but what's the date?
I said September 21st.
Oh, okay.
So, as soon as I get more details, I will provide them. I'll just have to look that up, you know, as far as location. But so far, September 21st is the date. Tara will be there, as well as Roddy Piper.
I want to speak to Roddy Piper, just because I love how he sounds like a drunk man.
Yeah.
When he tells stories.
Now, I don't want anybody to get all excited just yet, but if there's a way that we can attend the event and even speak with him for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes, we will report back. If we can even be successful in recording something.
Video, yes.
Video, we will report. I think that would just put us on the map. It really would. It would establish some credibility. But I'm not going to get into too much detail or whatever. We're going to find that stuff out, and then, you know, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah, this is all news to me too, people.
I just thought about it when I saw it, and I was like, ooh. We were trying to get Steiner on this show and everything like that. Nah, we need Piper.
Okay, AW. Mm-hmm. You were going off hardcore on Twitter when all this was going down.
Yes.
Explain.
Okay. I'm going to tell everybody right now that if this rant goes into some peaks, I'm going to tell you to turn down your volume because I've been holding on to this for like 3 or 4 days, which is not natural for me, okay? Because this, when we put this in real life perspective,
it ain't
this
shit. Ain't, exactly.
It's not crap. But what bothers me, and which is something I had put on our Facebook page Monday night, where I was just saying, I don't know if I want to be a wrestling fan anymore. just for the sheer stupidity of wrestling fans. But I'm going to get into this. And I'm going to get into this in several different ways. And I hope you guys can follow me here. I'll try to be as coherent and structured as possible. I do have notes, so don't worry. I'm not, you know, talking off the top of my head here. But there are a couple of aspects that I think, I won't say all wrestling fans, because there are a good portion of wrestling fans that know exactly what's going on, but there are a good handful that are just, I don't know what to call them. I don't, if you want to call them internet wrestling fans or just entertainment fans, because sometimes when I look at tweets, I feel as though most of these fans are just, you know, there to see the drama and the car crash, could care less about, you know, if two wrestlers are putting on a great match or not, where it was lacking, etc. But first thing that fans need to put into perspective, anybody who is absolutely pissed off about the fact that AW is gone is an idiot. I'm sorry, I'm really not one to really go there and insult people because I think that's correct. I don't know you. But if that's the emotion that you're having, I don't know what other way to put it. I find it so foolish. This is an entertainment show, yes. But B, when there are measures put in place for certain things to be, how shall you say, not go there, don't go there, then if you're reprimanded for it, that's, you know, you're bad. Mm-hmm. In reference to that, he tweeted about Linda McMahon's campaign. Now, ever since Linda McMahon decided she wanted to run for Senate or run for office, it was told to every single WWE talent, it's been reported, that they are not to speak on any aspect, even if you're a supporter, you're against her, you know, you want to wish her well, she is off limits. Don't mix the two. And you know what? I know Vince McMahon does a lot of crazy things, and I'm not calling him a saint, but I understand, foolish as it is, I understand what they're trying to accomplish. They're trying to separate Linda McMahon, the political, the aspiring political figure, and World Wrestling Entertainment as it is, as two separate entities. Now, there's no way Linda McMahon can walk on this, on God's green earth, and not have some type of affiliation or reference to WWE. It just won't happen.
Right.
But if you are told by your boss and the surrounding officials that throughout this entire campaign, do not mention Linda McMahon, and now you turn around around and you tweet about it. It's one thing if you were, you know, talking with someone and someone heard it and then they ratted you out. But you go where millions of people can see what you've said and you're upset?
And then after the fact that he had to apologize for his comment, the Kobe Bryant joke the week before.
Yeah.
It's like, you're already threading on thin water there.
Exactly. So, for anybody who's, again, upset about his firing, A, we don't know all the details surrounding why he was let go. We know some details. We don't know everything. But it's not, I highly, highly doubt that it's only because of the Kobe Bryant because of the Linda McMahon reference. And there are other things that I am sure are, you know, factors as to why he was let go.
Maybe he was a loudmouth in the back too, you know what I mean?
That's
maybe he rubbed people the wrong way, who knows?
That is my sentiment, I think, and I'll tell you why that's my sentiment in a minute, but I just want to go through, again, all the facts. I saw a lot of people making some very ludicrous references to certain things, and so if this is the first time you guys are listening to this show and you don't know me and you might be a little bit offensive, sorry. But
too bad.
Again, exactly. But let's have a little history lesson here. WWE had different types of eras. They had the golden era, they had the new generation era, they had the 80s era, and the you know, rock and wrestling era, they had the attitude era, and now they have the PG era. Now, attitude era started circa 1995-96, lasted up to circa 2002. Different time.
Yeah.
Different generation, different social atmosphere. Now, the PG era started circa 2008. Because every time you start an era, there's a transition phase. So,
right.
Yes,
and then
people are wondering, where's this, you know, 6-year kind of, you know, spacing between the Attitude Era and the PG era. In between those 6 years, there was an era, and this is why I didn't mention it, because it's not really part of the point I'm trying to make.
But that's when Big Show made that comment too, you know? He did a joke too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's, for my argument for that, it was a transitional period.
Exactly. And it was called the, you know, the ruthless aggression / era type of thing. So it was still, Attitude Era-ish, but at a lower state, because Attitude Era, it was full throttle. I mean, there was everything from showing boobies to, you know, everybody scantily in thongs and, you know,
yeah.
Everything. So for people to make reference to things that have happened between 1995 and 2002 and compare the two are idiots. Again, you're dumb. Do your research, watch some video, watch video of today, and then you'll see the big difference. And even, you know, what's his actual name there? Brian Josie?
Yeah.
A.K.A. Abraham Washington?
Right.
For him to even make that kind of reference throughout his Twitter rant, he's an idiot as well. Because he said something in particular, where was it? He said something about having attitude. How, okay, I remember a time when the WWE didn't care about breaking the mold, but now everyone is so afraid of their own shadow. Remember the fans. And then he says, thank you, WWE, for creating me and then killing me because I only portrayed what I grew up watching, the WWE. Again, Abraham, put things in context, because when you were watching, that was a different era.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing totally with what he's saying, but he also has to recognize he's in the company, well, not no more, but, you know, this day and age. So things are different.
Exactly. And there's a way to be cutting edge without having to those things.
Right.
You know, so in a sense, shot himself in his own foot for that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole quote about remember the fans, I agree with, because, of course, the fans do dictate what they like and what they don't like. Does WWE even care? That's a whole nother, you know, can of worms that we can open at some other point. Now, another known fact that you can Google and research. WWE has been a publicly traded company since 1999, okay? And that's why, like, towards doing that transition, they started to decrease the whole, you know, assets and...
Yeah, because they wanted to get different, bigger sponsors, and with that, you got to remove that kind of stuff. Or exactly. Minimize it.
So you're answering to a whole different set of people now, and you have to be vigilant as to what you put on TV, because sooner or later, sponsors can be taken away. They can wake up the next day, have a board meeting, and say, you know what, we don't want to sponsor you anymore. And as much as WWE is making millions and millions of dollars, they can shut down.
Their shareholders as well can remove him from power, meaning Vince.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So, you know, again, put things in perspective. The next thing that pissed me off, because, again, out of context, and again, Abraham Washington now had a recent interview, maybe it must have been like a day or two ago, and mentioned this as well, and I thought, like, oh my god, you're an idiot! Mike Tyson!
Oh god.
Where are you guys getting this comparison? Honestly, where are you getting this comparison?
Again, explain the reference for those that might not have heard it.
Well, basically, a lot of people have been posting memes on you know, Twitter or even on Facebook. But it says, AW mentioned, makes a you know, joke about rape, he gets fired. Mike Tyson is convicted of rape and he's entered into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but guess how much Mike Tyson made WWE? I'm sorry, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's just how the world is.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong either. I'm saying, and which is going to be my argument throughout this whole entire rant, if you haven't caught up to it at this point, put things in context, in its proper context. If we want to go there and look at it just for people who have no clue about what happened to Mike Tyson, which is, like, beyond me, but there might be people that just don't know. Back in 1992, Mike Tyson was convicted for rape and assault. He was sent to prison. 1992. Okay? Almost 3 years later, after serving, you know, almost, you know, a portion of his time, he was released in 1995. 3 years after that, he did a program with WWE. So, if we do our calculations correctly, that's 1998. Ooh, what's 1998, Mel? What era is that?
I don't know. What does the letter start with?
It starts with A!
Really?
Yeah!
Oh my god, does, attitude?
Yes! Attitude era. Controversy. They lived on that. Right. That was the society that we had. That was the social climate we had at that time. So it was a given. And think about the things that WCW was doing. I mean, really, look at the context and the atmosphere in which it was.
Mm-hmm.
So from January to March of 1998, Mike Tyson was involved with WWE. He was affiliated with D-Generation X. Again, another group that had nothing, you know, as its format was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the box. Suck It, you name it. They did so many things. You know, we don't have time for all that, but along the lines where Mike Tyson and them kind of meshed well.
Right.
And then you come to this past year's WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame ceremony, and he was inducted in the celebrity wing. Mm-hmm. Now, from 1998 to 2012 is 14 years later. And if you put all those years from the time that he was convicted for rape all the way to this year, that's 20 motherfucking years. How much longer do we need to stomp on this man?
Right.
20 years. He went to jail. If he didn't serve enough time, okay, make an argument about that. But again, it has nothing to do with wrestling. Nothing.
Another thing, it has nothing to do with wrestling. Well, it could, but I don't think it did in this case. Is all the people bringing up the fact, well, not, I don't think it's a fact, but all the people saying that, oh, AEW is fired because WWE is racist. Come on. Come on.
Give me a break. If WWE is racist, first of all, R-Truth wouldn't be there. The Rock would have never been a champion. And yeah, by the way, he is half black.
And don't get me wrong, yes, WWE has been racist in the past. We know this. You know, first of all, wrestling, there's a lot of racism in wrestling, period.
There's racism in the world, period. Exactly. Let's get with that.
Yeah. You're not going to have everybody in a federation liking everybody. You're not going to have everybody in a federation thinking that this person should be on top or not be on top because of race or whatever the case may be. But this had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with race.
Nothing. Mark Henry would have never been champ, you know, several times over champion.
You wouldn't have all these black people and Hispanic people and whoever being in tag teams now.
It would have been flipping obvious, but yeah, we'll get off that because that's just plain ignorance, and I'm not even gonna acknowledge that any further than what we've pretty much acknowledged at this
point. And in case you people don't know, you're listening to this for the first time and don't know what we look like, we're black.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is coming from two black people.
So take that. Another point. WWE, the company, the machine, it's not just wrestling anymore.
If at all.
If at all, yeah.
But it's not. They branded themselves to be an entertainment company.
Exactly. In all facets.
Right.
And again, referencing back to the fact that they are a publicly traded company. Again, if you want to be involved, if you want to, extend tentacles and stretch them into every, you know, little nook and cranny of the entertainment business, you have to accept some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes decisions are going to be made. You're not going to always like them. You're not going to always agree with them. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you've been listening to this show since its inception, you know that we don't agree with everything that they do. But you got to put things in context. And if you want to, you know, make movies and attract a whole different audience, you got to do what you have to do. And if it means letting go of people who just can't seem to calm the fuck down, then let them go.
Especially if they're not a big draw.
Exactly. Which is that point I'm just saving for last because okay. I will go all out on that. Another thing, this is pretty much going to tie into it because I'm pretty much at the end of my rant right now. After being ceremoniously fired, he goes on Twitter, he has his rant. I'm not against his rant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to understand that. You're pissed off. You feel like it came out of nowhere. You've been let go. I understand that you want to rant. So rant away. Freedom of speech. But when you start attacking other fans who, and believe me, Melanie, I spent some unnecessary time looking at some of the tweets that he responded to.
Okay.
There is no reason for you to lash out at people calling them assholes and bitches and motherfuckers and what I do to your mother.
Really?
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Honestly. And a lot of it, you know, I didn't see every single one, okay? So
yeah.
There could have been some people that have really been, you know, dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And were just attacking him personally. But there were some people who were like, you know, okay, we get it, AW. Now give it a rest, please. And he would turn around and drop some F-bombs on that person. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not surprised you're fired. I'm not surprised. You sound like a hothead.
Maybe he thinks this will, you know, help him at maybe in the short term, now that he's been released. Because, you know, the more you talk, the more you put yourself out there, and the more controversial you are after a firing such as this, then, you know, maybe people might want to book you, maybe people might want to do work with you and do other stuff with you. I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his thinking.
I don't know. Maybe that's his thinking, but that's not how it comes across.
Mm.
It comes across as very unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
I am not trivializing how he felt at the time, and I want to make that perfectly clear. But as a professional, you need to step away for just 2 seconds, get your head together, know that there's going to be quote-unquote haters out there, no matter what you do. Fuck them. I would not even fuel that fire.
Right.
I wouldn't even fuel that fire. I would say my traditional thank you to all my supporters and for all my haters. I hope you're happy, blah, blah, blah. Enjoy the show. But I would not start attacking almost every person that says something negative to me, because if you know who you are, you wouldn't need to lash out like that.
Some people's personality is just like that, though.
I guess. And you know, I know someone's going to say or make a reference to Punk because he can be a little bit of a hothead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can. And when he says something that I feel is not appropriate, you know, I will voice my opinion. But for the purpose of this discussion, we're talking about AW. So, you know, that I felt like he did a few bad moves. And yes, be controversial at the moment because it makes you hot. And it's obviously working because my ass is talking about it.
But I think this will be the last time we talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even touching this ever again. If someone mentions AW on our Facebook page, I'll remove the post. That's just, like, how I feel about this right now. Because for me, I think the part that really upset me is just the simple fact that people were not putting things in the proper perspective. And the one thing that really got over on me, too, was that sentimental feeling that so many quote-unquote wrestling fans feel, but they're damn liars. Oh, fuck WWE. They fire the most entertaining person on earth, or blah, 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 and I'm never going to watch their show again. Bullshit. I'm sure your little ass was right parked in front of your TV at 7:55. Okay? Don't try to fool anybody. We know you're still watching. And I hate when people make those comments, because you know it's not true.
Yeah.
And then, another stupid comment, and I guess this is just a matter of opinion, they're saying that primetime players ain't gonna be shit without AW. I'm like, but they wasn't shit before that.
Thank you very much.
So what are you talking about?
Exactly.
The dude, in my personal opinion, had no charisma that attracted me.
He did not bring anything to the primetime players. For one, he did seem like a loudmouth black man.
Yes. And
talking over everything, and even the stuff he was saying really did not make sense in terms of being a manager for a tag team, because you're taking away the tension from the tag team, for one.
Exactly.
So you're not even really watching the match, per se. And all those times where he'd be like, get out the way, move, Darren, blah, 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 all this and that. obviously everyone's hearing this, but then, like, you know, primetime players would not react to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was for nothing. It was just a big clusterfuck. It was a hot mess.
And it's that kind of chiming took away from the match as well. Because saying things like, "Whoa, move out the way, Darren. No, 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 don't, blah, 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 blah." Come on, man. We don't need a step-by-step. I'm sure the fans that are watching are not that freaking dumb.
Yeah, you can't do that with a live mic.
No.
If you're on, you know, ringside, no mic, like a regular manager, fine. But if you're going to have a live mic and you're going to be able to say stuff, say something once in a while that's of importance or significance to the match. Not like, get out the way, blah, blah, blah. No.
No. And you're cutting out commentary, which, again, I'm not even going to say commentary is so excellent that, you know, AW was taking so much away from it. But it was very distracting. It was just distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference, again, because now I just want to say it out loud for like the second or third time. The difference between him and people like Jimmy Hart and Bobby Heenan is that they motivated their team. Yeah. Okay, guys, you got this. Da-da-da-da-da. And they weren't chiming in every 2 freaking seconds.
Right. And when they had something interesting to say or funny, it worked.
Exactly. And he doesn't have that wit. He has wit for the Attitude Era, and even that wit still sucks.
And even with Bobby DeBrain, Heenan, and you know, Jimmy and stuff, it wasn't always just about what they were saying. They told also a story, like, well, they're part of the story with their body too.
Yeah.
You know, how they reacted to certain things that's going on in the ring, stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm hot and exhausted. My final word is AW sucks. He didn't bring anything. We haven't lost a big, huge talent as far as, you know, things going down in history. I don't even think this will make it to the top 100. So y'all need to just calm down. It's part and parcel of the business that is wrestling. Their contract even states it. Yeah, you have a contract or whatever, but I'm sure there's a clause that says we don't have to keep you to the fullest extent of your contract. If we feel like, you know, no, you have nothing to offer and that maybe your services would be better well served somewhere else, after 90 days, that is, you know, then so be it.
Right.
It's happened to so many people and nobody else seems to be jumping up and down about it.
I don't know. Just the way AW reacted, it was the whole angry black man thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so much shame. I was like, why you gotta be half black?
You know? And it's just like, why you gotta react that way? Why can't, for once, it's already hard enough as is. Now you just gotta make it blatantly obvious and prove people right.
I know.
They're always angry.
I was keeping the black man down, you know.
Done with him, man.
Did you have anything else in news, rumors, and gossip?
No, I think I've Oh, no, I haven't covered it. I have one more thing. Two more things, actually. And I would like to get your opinion on this, because this is pretty interesting. WWE holds a meeting with talent prior to Raw. So, before Raw went on the air on Monday, they had a meeting. And in light of JTG's Twitter rant, WWE conducted a meeting with talent prior to, you know, it says last night because it was from an article on Tuesday, Raw in Dallas. Management was open to hearing any grievances in this forum, but apparently no one spoke up. The talent was told to use common sense when it comes to voicing concerns. Dave Meltzer, you know, Mish's favorite guy, reports that the talent was also told that there was a clerical, I guess, error with the paychecks for those on the tour of Brazil and that the new checks would be issued. So I guess this kind of ties in with JTG's rant as well, because he was talking about payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, I guess they hadn't received the payoffs, and this is the explanation that there was, you know, a clerical mix-up, and that new checks are being issued, which I think is just, is normal for any company. I've had that happen to me before, so yeah, that's one thing. But I wanted to get your opinion, because Monday when I saw him on TV, I said, oh, maybe this whole rant was a work, because it reminded me of Epico and Primo when they went on their whole Twitter rant, and then maybe about 2 weeks later, they showed up on TV, and then they had this angle with, you know, Primetime Players and Kofi and Truth and blah, 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 and the rest is history. What do you think about this?
I'm not sure if it's a work or not. I mean, I think we're going to have to wait and see the next 2-3 weeks, maybe. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, he came out, he had a match, he got squashed. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, let's see if they actually use him again.
Yeah.
And not wait, like, months again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because at first I didn't think, well, at first I thought it was a work. And then when I saw this article, I'm like, oh, maybe it isn't a work. Because they're just stating, you know, in light of, this is what happened Monday night. So, I don't know. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a wait and see, I guess.
Yeah.
The last thing that I have is CM Punk's comments on the, you know, Kevin Nash thing, JTG's rant, Steve Austin. So there was, again, this is at the Chicago Comic Con, and there was a Q&A session with CM Punk, and someone asked him about Kevin Nash's comments on Twitter about the little guys. And he responds saying that it's Kevin Nash's opinion, and you can't hate someone's opinion just because you don't agree with it. On JTG's rant, he says that if JTG had a problem with something, he should have talked to Vince McMahon or someone backstage instead of ranting about it on Twitter. And I guess someone had pointed out his pipe bomb, and he said in reference to the pipe bomb, that it was also a public rant, just like JTG's. However, everything that he'd said during that promo were some of the same things that he had been saying to Vince McMahon for months. And the whole Steve Austin thing, because everybody's looking for this whole Punk versus Austin type of thing at WrestleMania. And he says that it's unlikely that it would be facing Steve Austin anytime soon because of the fact that Austin had knee surgery recently. And Punk says that, you know, the match will happen if Steve Austin wants it to.
Exactly. It's all up to it's all up to Austin, because Austin's not going to come back for even just one more match if he can't go 100%.
Yeah, and that's just the type of dude that he is.
Right. I mean, yes, so, it's a dream match. We'd all love to see it, but the stars have to align, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more thing. I keep saying one more thing. But yeah, this is absolutely the last thing. apparently, Vince McMahon was not happy with Roddy Piper Monday night.
I did not think so. Yes, go on.
Vince McMahon was none too happy with Hall of Famer Roddy Piper's appearance on last night's Raw. Piper's ramblings were noticeable, and as a result, McMahon instructed announcer Michael Cole to bury the segment via his headset.
That's what I thought watching it.
Mm-hmm. And here's another thing, again, that just annoys me about dumbass fans. Under this particular article, there was, you know, a comments thread, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were just shitting on Vince McMahon for absolutely no reason. I'm like, listen, you're expected to receive a top quality show. And if someone doesn't step up to the plate, never mind who it is, okay? But if someone doesn't deliver the way you're expected to deliver, a decision has to be made. An audible has to be played. So, you know, don't jump up and down talking about, oh, all the years that Roddy Piper gave to the company and Vince McMahon treats him this way, blah, blah, blah. Shut up!
But they've had that relationship for years.
Yeah, like, off and on. Exactly. I suggest you go and Google Roddy Piper's DVD. Watch it, because I watched it. It's online. I won't tell you where, but it's online. You can watch the whole entire thing. And he talks about the tumultuous relationship that they had. So, again, get off your sanctimonious high horse thinking that you know so much. You don't know shit.
I agree, like, you know, if McMahon thought it was garbage, you know, he called an audible to Cole and stuff. But at the same time, I'm thinking, how does that help your product? For the announcer to just be like, this stinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I get that argument, if that argument was being made.
Yeah.
But from what I saw, that was not the argument. The argument was like, Roddy Piper is like the best, one of the best Hall of Famers of all time, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they just saw it from a mark point of view, and not so much from looking at it, the big picture.
Because most people think one-dimensional, that's the problem.
Yeah. And that's why we have to do this show.
Because we're multi-dimensional bitches, that's why. Oh, I want to touch on something last week. If you listened to the show last week, and you probably, if you listened to the end, which you should have, there was a technical difficulty. My network just went down completely. And there was something else I wanted to get into that's Jang had posted on our Facebook group page. What was it? Bill Maher on Making Women Nod. Did you watched it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'm going to play a bit of it and we'll discuss. If it will play, that is. I hate YouTube sometimes.
Yeah. There's a cliche that, you know, men don't listen to women. I think the reality is that we've become a nation of men who are just jesters in your court, who listen constantly, and our whole society is based on the idea of, I like to call it, making women nod. If you watch it, there's a guy who understands what I'm saying. When I say this is a feminized country, first of all, understand that I get it, that there are millions and millions of women who are steely-eyed realists, and millions of men who are anything but. However, for lack of a better term, I would say that the feminine values are now the values of America. Sensitivity is more important than truth. Feelings are more important than facts. Commitment is more important than individuality. This country is in trouble because men have given up the debate. Whatever women say, men just nod along. We don't know how to fight back. We don't know how to stick up for ourselves. When women say things like, we're more spiritually evolved, we just go, yeah, I guess that's right.
And, you know,
and there's no evidence, and there's no reason to believe that's true.
You know,
just agree. No, just agree. That's why we get these heart attacks. We get all this
Exactly. Yeah, that's why.
No, that's why we die. They live to 85, 90 years old. I always hear women say, you know, married men live longer. Yes, and an indoor cat. Also,
I'm married for the third time, God willing the last time, and I've learned some little lessons in life. When a woman comes to you to tell you her problems, men want to fix it. If a friend of mine comes to me, a guy, I tell him, you know, well, maybe do this. He walks away with ideas. You don't do that with a woman.
No.
With a woman, you sit there and go, God, baby, that sucks. So what movie do you want to see?
I know women don't have it easy in America, but it is sort of politically incorrect just to be male in this country now. I mean, look at television. Look at any sitcom. The wife is always brilliant and ethereal and right about everything, and the husband is always a dumb fuck lucky to have found her.
Men are...
I'll just ask part of it. You can watch the rest of the video on our Facebook group page. But you get the idea, people, what... where we're going with this. Now, personally, I do not believe in, you know, the whole making women a nod thing. Don't do that. I hate pussy men.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just because, yes, I do agree that that's how society is or going towards right now, where the women are the smart ones and superior, and we're moving up in the world. Yes, we are moving up in the world. Great. More scientists, more everybody, you know what I mean? Into, like, more male positions in terms of jobs and careers and all that. Great, fine. But in terms of relationships, this is a thing. This is how I see it. Men and women are wired totally differently. So, like an example that they gave, the whole thing of, you know, if a woman has problems and she wants to vent, you know, usually we want the guy to just, you know, listen. You're not supposed to give solutions because that's not how we are wired. With a man, it's, okay, what's the deal? What's the situation? Okay, you can do A, B, and C to fix it. All right, fine. My thing is, if both both sexes can understand how each other work and how each other are wired, then it can work. But this whole putting down one sex and putting down the other sex, it's so ridiculous. It's so ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I find there's a lot of men lately that they're, for lack of a better term, they're just pussies. They're like, yes, ma'am. I hate a yes man. Don't ever be a yes man, guys. And I don't need a guy up my ass all the time either. I can be in a relationship, but yet still have my own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I find there's more and more men out there that are the freaking Klingons, man. Like, this should be at a Star Trek convention or something. I don't know.
And you know, part of that has to do with us. You know, we are partly to blame for that. You know, generational wise.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to even accept, because I'm gonna say this right now, and I'm sure Mel, you'll agree with me as well. You know, women generally are schizophrenic. We are. Let's just, you know, call a spade, because, and you'll know where I'm going with this when I, you know, explain. We'll want something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get it, and then we're not happy with the way we get it.
Yeah, we have to get it a certain way.
And men are, like you said, are just not wired that way. So, it has to do with that. It has to do with the whole feminist movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we want to be equal. But the thing is, physiologically, you're not even equal. So how can you be equal to a man?
Exactly.
I can understand you want to make the same type of money because, you know, you've worked hard, you have the same qualifications, you may be just as smart or even smarter than, you know, your male counterparts in a particular job or in a particular profession. However, this whole wanting to be equal so far to the point where lesbians want to have children and they want the man's sperm because there's no other way to create a life but want to say fuck men.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I have nothing against, you know, gays and lesbians and wanting the same things that we want.
Right.
But let's put things in perspective. Yo, this has been like my phrase all freaking night, man. Put things in perspective. Have respect for your counterparts, because at the end of the day, there's simply just things you cannot do that a man can. And for you to emasculate him for it, that's not right.
And this is for especially any females out there that are listening to this that are younger than us, you know, especially if you're in your early 20s, I would say, especially. Because, you know, even from like around our age, we're like early, you know, 31, 32, whatever, right? Even from us, our generation, there's been a lot of females who approach guys more the way a guy would approach a female. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying by that is, you know how usually it's the male that's like, oh, well, they're the ones that they're the aggressors. They're the ones that go after the females and blah, blah, blah. Which, how, you know, it should be like that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you switch the role, now guys are kind of getting used to that. And
they're becoming divas.
Right, and they're waiting for that, which I find so wrong. Because it's not going to work that way. You can't just flip the role totally like that.
Yeah.
You know,
funny,
what I mean?
Story, actually.
Go on.
Are you going to finish a point?
No, I was just going to say that how, if, honestly, girls, if you're going to seek a relationship, no, I'm not saying a fuck buddy, okay? That's totally different. If you're seeking a relationship, let the guy go after you.
Yeah.
Because if he does not have the balls or, testicular fortitude, however you want to call it, to approach you how you should be approached, then he's not really a man, he's a pussy.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the point that if you start to strip away what makes a man,
right,
and then complain about him not being a man, like,
exactly,
that's oxymoronic.
Yes.
You can't do that. But to share my funny story about guys settling now, or some guys settling for a woman running after them, it reminds me of this guy that I used to talk to, and I'm sure as I tell the story, Mel, you'll start to remember that.
Okay.
But it was a guy that I had known for years, and I never looked at him that way, but we just started talking. And the more I got to know him, based on the conversations that we were having, the more I realized he was a little bit of a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we were having this conversation about, you know, starting a family, and you know what's to be done in that aspect. And he was saying, because now is again talking about emasculating men at this point, now in this day and age, which was never a thing before, especially when we were young, so it's not even a long time, moms would go on maternity leave.
Yeah.
Now dads can go on maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that, and he was saying, you know, if we were together, this, that, the other, blah, 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 you know, of course, I'm the only one that can have the baby, but once I have the baby, that he would want to be the one that would be on maternity leave. I was like, uh-uh.
But why, though?
Just because.
He had no explanation behind it?
No.
So he just wanted to be at home?
He just wanted to be at home.
Okay.
He is the type of man that just wants to be spoiled by a woman, but not spoiled in the right way, because men want to be spoiled by their women. They want to be, catered to, and this, that, the other.
And they should be, to a certain degree, because if the woman isn't doing it, another woman will.
Exactly. So it wasn't even from just that aspect. He was, like, taking it to a whole new level, talking about, you going back to work pretty much right away after having baby, this, that, the other. And I'm thinking, like, well, you don't have milk in your breast, so how are you going to do this? And, you know, to even an extent where he wanted basically the woman to take care of everything like a man.
Okay.
And I'm saying to him, it's impossible. You can't expect a woman to be the creator of life,
mm-hmm,
basically, you know, birthing your child, you know, doing that whole nurturing thing. You can't take that away from her.
Especially right after.
Exactly. But this is the point he was making, is that he wanted to take on that role. And it was just like, yeah, I could squeeze, you know, milk out of my breast and put it in a bottle and stuff like that. But you don't understand the emotional and psychological process that happens after a woman gives birth. It's such a uncomparable thing to go through pregnancy,
mm-hmm,
because it's not like any experience in the entire world. And obviously you can't take that away, but now you want to take away the initial bonding?
Yeah, that's, you can't do that.
Exactly. So I thought to myself, like, really? This is a problem. And as further we discussed about other things, and I learned that, you know, he was still living at his parents' house, and I said, mm-mm, that's it. I talk to you now. Because it's one thing if you're in your early 20s to mid-20s, and you're still living at home, and say you're going to school.
Mm-hmm. Or even if, like, you did your school thing, whatever, after school, you still don't have that job you need or want.
Right.
You kind of have some hard times. I understand living with your parents. I get it.
Or one of your parents is sick.
Right.
And you're there to take care of them until, you know, they get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be more convenient to be there, physically there.
Right.
However, when your excuse is, well, I like the way things are, why should I change it? You, again, are what Mel and I call a nigga. We don't like you. And this is exactly the type of guy that he was. And he has a child.
Yeah.
He has a son. I'm not gonna judge him on how he takes care of his kid and everything like that, but he explained to me as well, you know, I have a certain lifestyle that I live. I have a kid that, you know, whenever he wants something from me, I want to be able to say yes and not feel or have to explain to him I don't have it. And I said, that's all fine and dandy, but it's a part of growing up.
Exactly.
And it's a part of being a parent. You have to teach your children certain principles in the world, because if you don't teach them anything, they feel freedom reign. So these are the kids that turn out to do, go and rob someplace, assault people. I'm not talking about the ones who have a, like, you know, a psychological problem. I'm just talking about the general troublemakers, because no one taught them that there's a consequence to every action. And that sometimes you're not going to get everything you want when you ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I felt that's kind of, I understand the wanting to provide for your child because you want to do better as a parent than, you know, when you were a kid, you had to struggle for things. I understand that wanting. Everybody that becomes a parent wants that. They want to have their children's lives better than theirs. But within reason. Has to be within reason.
Yeah, so moral of the story, be a man.
Really?
And if you come across a chick that's trying to emasculate you, drop her.
Like a hot potato.
Drop her hard. Drop her low. Hard.
Drop low. Yeah.
We're going to wrap the show up, but if you guys didn't listen to the last little mini podcast that I put out, it's not an episode, it's just, you know, a special announcement, Women Love Wrestling 2. We are going through some changes because I think there's a troll out there that has deleted our YouTube and Blogspot page.
We've been hijacked!
Yeah. So, we apologize for the inconvenience, but we will be getting our own new domain, so new website, all that good stuff, new chat room, everything like that. We might even be changing the name of the show. We shall see. If you have any ideas for a new name for the show, let us know on our Facebook group page. That'd be cool and interesting to see what you guys come up with. But don't get stupid now.
Serious talk, man.
Yeah, no, like, four tits, one show business or nothing like that.
Four tits, one show.
That will not be on the final list.
Four ass cheeks, one show.
Yeah. Nothing like that, but you get the idea. So, shout out to Wrestling Soup. Go catch their show tomorrow night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, WrestlingSoup.com. Shout out to Anthony Missionary Thomas and Joey Numbers, of course. Love you guys. And of course, Two Moms, One Show, as well as Yakuza Kick Radio. You can find both of those shows at blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza.
Shout out to J-Cat.
Yes. Shout out to Patrick Harris and his YouTube channel. You can subscribe to him on YouTube. His channel is called Impartial Third Party. It's kind of funny. You'll find it interesting, I think.
I hope it stays, because every 2 seconds he had to change it. I think he had a little bit of a situation there, and it was like, 1 week we'd be saying one thing, and then next week it'd be like, oh, wait, it's called this now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he was having a bit of problems, but so far so good, though.
Cool. Turnbuckle Throwbacks by Phil. He has another wrestling podcast. You can find it on iTunes. And, of course, Sports Den. When this is done, go over there to Sports Den. Check them out. They're on Ustream as well.
And I think Doob has a bit of a rant to go on, too, as well. So
it's the night of rants. It's the night of rants, people. Perspective. Oh my god. So yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at WLW_2. Go to our Ustream page. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Women Love Wrestling 2. Leave a comment, leave a good rating, tell a friend. Join our Facebook group page, and until next week, salut!
Bye-bye!